It's the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, we talk about mass media brainwashing, Pokemon Go for kids, and paying kids for schoolwork. Also, a heads up, we learned the night before recording this one that our dear friend's husband committed suicide, so we talk about that for about the first 14 minutes. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. That's right, I'm Chad.
I'm Z.
We're parents.
We have a podcast and we're puppeteers.
And we're married.
It's true.
Yeah.
That too.
I was just thinking, I was like, you can't just assume that people are married just because they're parents. Anybody could be a...
I just watched an interview with Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, and they've been together for 40 years and not married.
And they have kids?
They are a blended family. It was on CBS Sunday Morning, which blended. I've never gotten to watch, except that I'm living with my in-laws for the last six plus months, and I get to watch it every Sunday. So
when you're a blended family, does that mean you take the ingredients of old families and put them into a blender and kind of...
I wouldn't say it like that, no, because okay. Then that implies like a blade and like chopping people up, and that's not what it is.
It's more like mixing new memories with old ingredients.
Yes, it's more like incorporated family. Like family incorporated,
right?
But people like to use the term blended. So
blended sounds a little bit like mixed, and that's much different.
Listen, while we have like 9 people watching, yes, which is like, you know, a record for us, I wanna do like an important announcement.
Okay,
and that important announcement is that a very close friend of mine, her husband, killed himself. He took his life. And that just happened on Friday. And I am very sad about it. I know that we're laughing and everything here.
You gotta laugh.
But serious moment is I've been having a really hard time today because I talked to my friend earlier and I love her. Like, she's my sister in a sense. And we talk to each other. I don't ever get to see her because she lives far away, but we talk to each other. And I'm just so sad. I'm so sad. And they have kids, and I'm so sad. And I just want to say that if anybody is having a hard time right now, that you need to talk to somebody. And I know that we've done this PSA in these podcasts before, and maybe we've skipped a couple weeks, and we're going to go back to doing it every single podcast because it's important. Because maybe you don't realize that you don't know that things are getting really tough in your brain, but I'm going to tell you that if you're suddenly thinking, I don't care about seeing the sunrise tomorrow, that is the point where you need to start talking to somebody. Okay, somebody who can help you to want to see the sunrise tomorrow, because it's not worth it. And I'm so sad. I'm just really sad right now for my friend and for just the situation. And if it wasn't the situation, I would be on a plane right now going to her and spending a week with her just to help. I don't know what I would be doing, cleaning her bathroom. I don't know, but I would be helping. So instead today, what did I do? I cleaned your mother-in-law's, your mother's bathroom. Like I'm a helper and I can't help right now except like be there for her on the phone. And it just sucks. It's just really hard. And it's hard when people you love are not well. So we need to be taking care of ourselves both physically, but then this is as important as this. And I don't know what the barrier is for some people to not realize that this is just as important, your brain and your mental health and your mental hygiene. But if you are starting to feel like you cannot see what life is going to be like a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month from now, then that's a problem. And you need to find help. You need to dig deep and say, you know what, I need to talk to somebody and find who that person is. And I'm just so sad. Yeah.
And if you, so maybe that's not you, right? Maybe you got stuff to look forward to. You know, I'm looking forward to traveling. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the next big video game. You know, I got stuff. I'm looking forward to seeing my friends. You know, I'm going to go on a whirlwind tour like everybody else when this is all over, when the quarantine's done, and see all my friends. And I can't wait for that. But maybe you're not having those kind of thoughts, or maybe you're not in pain all the time. You know, maybe you're not feeling like ending your pain is a good idea. Maybe you need to think about your friends, like how they're doing. Reach out to people you haven't heard from in a while, or check in on them. If somebody's social media feed looks kind of dark, mm-hmm. you know, and you haven't talked to this person in a while, you know,
or they used to post all the time and they're not posting at all anymore.
Check in, just yeah. give them a little poke, because it, having somebody come into your life, even for just a moment, mm-hmm. that somebody remembered you, you know, and they liked you enough to be like, hey, how's it going? That means so much, especially when things are really, really hard.
Yeah.
So that's something we can do, is check in on each other. And I want to thank my friend Sion for checking in on me today, because I posted something vague about this on social media saying like, hey, you know, if you're having a really hard time, just call me, you know, literally just call me. And so she checked in, you know, even though like, I will never be that person, because I had somebody kill themselves, my best friend in high school. And I know that his death affected so many hundreds of people in an absurdly negative way. And that he was suffering. He was suffering, and suicide is a disease. And, you know, like, I can only feel pity for people that choose that, or think that that's a good idea in the moment, right? Because mm-hmm. we can get through it. You can get through it, you know, right. Like, even though you're having a really hard time. So reach out to people, you know, it doesn't have to be a mental health national holiday or whatever. Just reach out to people and see how they're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the first time I was affected by suicide was my eighth grade English teacher. Committed suicide while I had her as my English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, I was affected by it in my family. My great uncle committed suicide as well, but I wasn't close to him. He lived in Florida, and it was like vague, you know, like my parents were kind of like, he's not around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it didn't really hit me. When it really hit me was when Mrs. Schumann, my eighth grade English teacher, who I loved
mm-hmm.
Very deeply. She saw something in me. She had kind of promised that I was going to get cast in a really important role in the next musical. She knew that theater was a path that could help me in a very intense way. And then I don't know what was going on in her life that made her so sad. But then she wasn't around anymore, and it was so, so disturbing. And I don't think I've ever really gotten over that, in a sense, because it was, you know, like everyone has that teacher that's like, they saw me, they believed in me. And I, you know what, for me, like, to be honest, the very first teacher that I really, really, really felt that way about was my sixth grade teacher, who's still alive, Mrs. Hendrickson, and she lives in Michigan now. And she was the very first teacher. But then you do have other people along the way who then lift you up. And Mrs. Schumann was one of those people for me. And then, you know, my friend Sarah and I don't know, Sarah, if you're going to ever watch this, but Sarah Campbell, who is, went to school with me during that time, we've talked about what a difficult time period that was. And it was really hard. We had a seventh grade home ec teacher who was killed in a car accident, and then an eighth grade teacher who died from suicide. And it was just a lot of death in our middle school years. And then to know that in the midst of everything that's happening, and in the midst of all these families trying to just hold on and like come together and like just get through this, especially with, you know, the announcement of a possible vaccine, like there's possibly light at the end of the tunnel. We just have to, you know, keep being safe. And even in the midst of like all these numbers rising, and then to know that my friend is just going to have to, like, she has two young kids the same age as my kids, and she's going to have a really tough life. And it just sucks, man. It just sucks. So, you know, I'm sorry to be such a downer this week, but like this podcast for us is real. This is real life. This is what is happening. And so I am just really, I'm grieving. I'm grieving for my friend, and I'm grieving for the future, and I'm grieving for him, and for all of the things that he couldn't handle, that then became too much, that he couldn't see another day. And I don't want that to happen to anyone else. So if you're listening to this, please, please, please take that moment and get the help that you need if you need it.
And so sometimes that's just text a friend, mm-hmm. text somebody. Texting is super easy. You know, just reach out to one person, or just, you know, write yourself an email, like write your thoughts out, you know, like see where you're at. Sometimes we don't take enough time to really think about what's going on inside our brains or why, you know, or question it, right? So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all kind of reeling from that today, because it's like it didn't have to be a death in the family for it to hurt and for it to, you know, darken everyone's horizon, you know? So,
I mean, it was already starting to be a harder couple of days, and I don't know what that's about. I think I have concerns about the transfer of power from the election. I think I'm taking in too much news.
Yes.
Overall.
Yes.
But that's just a symptom of living in your parents' house.
I know. And the news is on all the time, and there's nothing we can do about it.
I mean, it's, and once it's on, I just feel like, well, I should know what's going on, even though I've already taken in my news for the day, right? Like I read the New York Times in the morning, and then I listen to NPR at certain points throughout the day, and I feel like that is how I like to take in my news. I never used to watch the news, never.
Yeah.
And then since living here, I watch the news, and I will tell you that it is a visceral experience watching the news in a way that listening to the news, reading the news is not. And it affects me, mm-hmm. and I know that, but then I cannot keep myself from watching it. And I don't know what that's about.
It's like a train wreck. I mean, every bit of news is structured the same way. And I took mass media courses in college, and it's fascinating the effect of video news on the human psyche, right? It's always, if you have like an hour program, right? You get 55 minutes of the things that humans can't stop looking at, which is, you know, like violence, doom and gloom, train wrecks, how everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And then for the last 5 minutes, because they can't just leave you feeling horrible and awful about the world, the last 5 minutes is always an uplifting story. Like, they try and like overcorrect a little bit. And it's always this, like, I don't know, like some kid with cancer, a robotics team builds them a wheelchair, or some mom sings and wins in a competition, or something like basket of kittens, or, you know, something to make you feel a little bit better.
The last one, it was about the ebony mermaids who are swimming, black women swimming.
See, racism is over. We got black mermaids now.
Black women are swimming.
That was sarcastic. Yeah, no, I mean, like, there's so much great things in the world, and there's so many boring things happening right now. The world is so boring and nothing is happening. But if you filter all the boring, nothing is happening stuff out and just focus on the things that look like really fascinating, like all the fires and gun violence that are happening, and you like compact it down to 55 minutes.
Not even, it's 30 minutes, 30 minutes.
And then hammer that into people's brains every single day, or however often you watch the news. It's going to affect your brain and your mind in a way that is subtle, right? In a way that you don't think about it first, you know, but over time you become more susceptible to suggestion and to believing, like having like a more pessimistic worldview. And I don't want that. I don't wish that on anybody. So if you're somebody that watches the news and you're like, yo, this is how I get my information for the day, you have to think about what you're seeing, and also who it benefits, right? But also that, like, the world is not like this news. Just because that's happening out there doesn't mean that like 99% of everything happening in the world isn't boring, because it totally is.
Yeah, and I mean, all I'm saying is that I'm not used to watching the news, and watching the news is different. It's different. And I'm not used to it. And it's affecting me, I think, in a way that's making me feel even more on edge than I normally did. And then watching all the numbers climb back up. I mean, anybody who is a fellow New York City dweller who are watching these numbers climb back up, let me know if you're re-experiencing any kind of PTSD from that, because he's gonna turn off the heat.
That's
that little soundy sound that you heard, that's the heat trying to keep us comfortable.
Yeah, but they probably don't hear it actually.
Chad will,
so it's not so loud yet, but
turn it off to make sure that we stay chilly and have a nice podcast.
The people don't need to hear the hum of the
heater. People's podcast anyway. It's, I don't even know what I was talking about. I'm totally derailed by the heat now, the heat situation.
The heat is on, ladies and gentlemen.
anyway, it's been a tough...
It's going to be
Oh, the numbers. Okay. I've been having a hard... So the reason that I was already having a hard time before the really sad news of my friend's husband ending his life this morning, which is just tragic. It's just tragic. Before that, I was already having a hard time because of the numbers, because I'm seeing these numbers and I, in my heart, am reliving so much of what happened to us living in New York City in March, April, and May. And it's hard, man. It is hard seeing it happening because I'm seeing it too, because I'm watching the news, which I know is like not great for my brain. Seeing it happen in Michigan, seeing it happen in Wisconsin, in Montana, North Dakota, where their hospitals are overrun, and then they have to make choices like who's going to get care, who gets to live and who doesn't.
Young people, basically. If you got to, like, doctors during the spring pandemic, doctors were saying, like, all right, if we have to make a choice between an old person and a young person, who do we give more care to? They're going to give it to young people because the old people are going to die anyway.
So it's just really tough. And the other hard thing about being out here, just one more thing.
Ahead.
I'm sorry to be talking so much. I feel like I'm just taking over here. But I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
The other hard thing about being out here that I've realized since, June, July, August, September, October, November. So a little over 6 months that we've been here. 6.5 months.
No.
Did I just count wrong? June, July, August, September, October, November.
No, I guess
that's
so.
That's six.
Well, this is the sixth month. When we get to December, it'll be six.
Okay. So for the time that we've been out here, one of the things that I have also noticed that I'm starting to feel like about, like heart racing, like not feeling totally calm, is the lack of control that I have about my own environment. It's hard. It is great to be here, and I am so thankful on so many levels because the kids get to be outside when it's nice out. They get to play. They get to have a little more freedom, more space, just to even goof off. They can jump around. I don't have to say, oh, be careful of the neighbors downstairs into F or to R or whatever. And that's great. But then that comes also with living in somebody else's house. And somebody else's house means that if they invite other people over to, like, change the stove to a new stove and they're not wearing a mask, like, you need to just kind of, like, be okay with that because, you know what, it's not your house. And if somebody else decides to come over and you know that they've been in other places, you can't say anything because it's not your house. And I feel like... that's hard for me because in this moment of, like, not being in control, what do I want the most? Control. I want total, complete, utter control over every single moment of my life so that we can see ourselves to the other side of this, never get sick, and then be okay. And the variable aspect of not being in complete control makes me a little crazy. Honest. Just being honest.
No, like, no, I mean, absolutely.
That's truth.
Absolutely. It feels like, I mean, the numbers, meaning the number of Americans that are dying every single day in this country, we have now surpassed the Vietnam War and the Korean War number of Americans dead combined, which is crazy. And we're going to hit 250,000 very soon. And it feels like, because everyone's going to ignore the mask mandate and the no travel mandates and go see each other's families for Thanksgiving. And lots and lots and lots and lots of you are going to die.
And can I just say,
it's just insane.
Say, because there's no national unified message coming from the very, very top, that this, I feel, and this is going to sound like I'm crazy. I understand that.
But he's responsible.
It feels like a form of genocide, because who is dying right now? It's poor people and people of color. It's minorities and people who don't have money. Those are the most affected people who are dying. And nobody from the very, very top really cares. And that is a huge issue for me as well. Because, like, if people really, really cared, like, is this Thanksgiving worth it to then not have any more Thanksgivings with those people? Is it? Is it? Like, that's the thing that I don't understand. Like, how is it that you can't just sacrifice one holiday, one Thanksgiving, like, 1 year of your life to then have the rest of your life with these people? I just don't understand why so many people are taking that risk. It's like, I just don't get it.
Well, that's been the whole score with Americans this whole time, our fellow countrymen who refuse to give a little so that we can end this. It's the same. I feel like it's the same kind of idea of Americans who are also like against giving free healthcare to their neighbor, you know? Or like opening their hearts and their wallets for somebody. It's this weird hypocrisy living in our country. If you've never been here, where Americans are the most helpful, the most bend over backwards for, you know, helping out a stranger, you know, and so many people donate so much money to good causes to help each other out. But the instant we get to something great, like universal healthcare that has been politicized in some way, it's no way, Jose, absolutely not in my country, not, and people's, and those same people show up at protests with AK-47s, and you're like, how can you reconcile helping out somebody's like kid with cancer in their GoFundMe and then like going to a protest to intimidate a bunch of people who are just like exercising their rights as Americans? It's just weird.
But none of this should be political. None of it. Because it all affects all of us. All of us equally. It affects us emotionally and mentally and physically. Like, no one is immune from this. And yes, if you have a lot of money and great health insurance, then maybe you get to have better care. And maybe you'll be able to get out of this unscathed. But you know what? Maybe you'll also have, a health condition for the rest of your life. Nobody knows. And I don't understand, like, why it's not more of a thing that, like, people let's just not get it. So,
well, let's bring it back around, because we have these two major themes in this podcast.
And thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, Melanie. We're just going to smash them together, and I'm going to blame the mass media, because for decades we've known the power of, and this is just one thing, I'm just going to go off on a little tangent, and I'm going to say that if you consume the news of mass media, you are, doesn't matter if you're watching like the awful propaganda of right-wing websites and social media and, let's say, like news like the OAN and Fox News, etc., or if you're watching MSNBC, like, you are committing yourself to a reality that may or may not be true, and in a lot of cases is not true. I think we talked about this offhand, is like there's two completely separate realities in our country right now, which is crazy, but it's true. And we didn't get here just overnight. You know, nobody flipped a switch and suddenly people were brainwashed. People willingly brainwashed themselves over decades of consuming different media with different truths. And it's not illegal in this country to tell a lie on TV. Like, other countries have more stringent laws for what you can or cannot get away with on television. And the social media, it's like the Wild West, where during this political season, Twitter and Facebook are finally kind of catching up to those same kind of laws, where they're saying, like, well, maybe no death threats anymore.
in the last couple months, or like maybe we'll tag this as misinformation, which is just like kid gloves. It's just insane. So I would encourage you out there, no matter what you do, no matter like how you consume the news or like or whatever information comes into your life, be it through a Facebook feed or Reddit or Instagram or TikTok, like or mass media news, doesn't matter. You need to do a quick Google search, go to different reputable websites where people or scientists or reputable journalists are talking about the thing that you just saw. Doesn't matter what it is, okay? You got to do your own homework in this information age, and it's really, really easy and quick to do. If you're not doing your homework right now, then like you're part of the problem. And that doesn't matter if you're like, if you're a liberal or a conservative, however you want to label yourself, you got to do your homework. And that's more than just going to the same sources every single time. Thank you, rant over.
Okay. Okay. Can I also talk about like a funny thing? Like,
yes, please.
Well, it's not really funny, but it's not funny, haha, but like strange. Yeah, I'm an artist. And like one of the things about being an artist too is that I am supposed to be like self-promoting some things that have been happening for me. And guys, the last thing that I really feel like doing is self-promoting and being like, hey, check out how cool I am. Like that is the last thing that I want to be doing, but I know it's important. Like I have this thing called Monica's Mixing Bowl that I'm supposed to be like talking about.
Oh yeah, Monica's Mixing Bowl. Let's shove all that negative nonsense to the side for
like,
a second.
How trite does that feel right now to be like, hey, I did this pilot 5 years ago while I was pregnant with my second son, and like, could you watch it and like it? Like, I know I'm supposed to be sharing that, and Stacey, I'm so sorry. I know I'm supposed to be sharing it, but I cannot find it in myself to be like into it. And the same with the Sesame Street stuff. Like, I know I should be, like, telling people every Tuesday and Thursday, like, hey, there's a new episode out. Have you checked out the Audible thing? But I just cannot find it in myself to be, like, that person. It was hard for me to even share about the puppet that I built that you shared about. But because you shared it, it was easier for me to share it. So I don't know.
See, you need a mod, Z.
A mod?
You need a mod.
What does that mean? Like a moderator for myself?
Yes.
Like somebody who will moderate me?
No, like all the streamers out there, you know, once you make it big, or at least make it somewhere, one of your super fans or somebody that you know that's also a streamer will mod for you. And that's like, they will cheerlead and they will tell and they will like kick the haters out of your chat stream and they will do it all.
Okay.
And you give them your undying affection, I think, is usually what they give the simps. Wow. Or, you know, or a little bit of money or you know, somebody. Something. Or maybe you can acknowledge I'm your secretary and I'm here for you. And you just need to tell me that it's a little hard and I will, you know, I will put those posts out there.
All right. Well, maybe.
Plus, I know a social media person. If you need a social media person, I know a great one.
I don't know.
Who just started for Unima, who I'm sure is looking for more work because we didn't have a lot of money to give them. So.
Well, can I tell you something else that happened? So our kids finally got Pokemon Go on their iPads. It was a big deal today. Like this is a process. I looked at, like, okay, so maybe 2 weeks ago, I had a deep conversation with my 7-year-old son. His name is Leaf. He's awesome. And it was like deep thoughts with Leaf. And he was telling me all sorts of things, like things that he's scared of, things that he's excited about. I was like, keep going, because he never tells me this stuff. It was very exciting as a parent. I don't know, fellow parents, if you're listening, like whenever your kid starts to tell you things that they've never told you, you're like, go on. So he told me and started crying about how he doesn't have Pokemon Go on his phone, that he doesn't have a phone, that he feels like he just cannot participate. And I was like, oh my God, you want to play Pokemon Go? I can make this happen for you. So then I look it up. I find out that there's a Pokemon Go version for kids. And so then I send it to Chad and I say, Chad, can you please try to help make this happen for the boys? Well, it becomes this whole big to do. Like, we accidentally put in something wrong, so then we had to contact customer support, figure it out. It took a couple weeks, but finally today was the day that all signs pointed to yes, and we got to hit the yes button for getting an account for both boys. They were so excited. And so then Leaf wanted to be my friend in Pokemon, because you can do that. You share friend codes. And my Pokemon name is Little Miss Gamer. And he has said a few times now, Mama, that's a really cute name. And for those of you who don't know, I used to have this video game review show called Little Miss Gamer, and I just laughed and I said, "Oh, this is sweet."
Someday, you know, so nice. I don't think they're going to listen to these podcasts because they're long. But someday he might just discover your webisodes back in 2008. We were making those.
I know.
They were quality. I got to say, they don't look good on YouTube anymore because they were shot in 720p.
Yeah.
And YouTube changed their codec or whatever they do. So anything that's 720p or earlier looks awful on YouTube currently. But I think they were pretty good. Like,
we
those,
did do a good job. I'm a specific fan of the high fidelity episode parody and the Zuma. Gamer addicted. What was it? Like Girl Interrupted. So it was like That's Gamer right. Interrupted.
That's right. But references no one will ever get anymore.
Anyway, they were fun to make. But I thought it was sweet that he thought that my name was so cute. He killed me a couple of times.
Well, now that they're now they're finally playing, though. I mean, they were playing on them like all day. It was like the floodgates open because for years we've been playing the Pokemon Go, probably for 4 years actually.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to kill time on the subway because in Astoria we have an above ground subway, right, which is awesome for cell signal. You can actually like read and. Some people call people, boo those people. But you can also like play apps that require, like a lot of gaming apps require you to have a wireless connection. So in the New York City subway system, unless they're going to change that soon, which would be nice, as soon as you go underground, you lose your cell signal. Well, whatever you were playing, you know, you can't play anymore. But Pokemon Go, you could play above air, above ground. So we've been playing it off and on for years and years, and I never let them take my phone. I'm not one of those parents. I'm always holding onto the phone and letting them kind of like play it next to me, right? And we take turns. It's a great way to do that. And today, because it's the first time they've ever had their own accounts in anything, you know, with their own little nicknames, and now they're playing all by themselves on their own devices. It's like the floodgates opened, and they've just been doing that all day.
Mm-hmm.
All day. They ran out of Pokeballs.
What is the Electrobuzz?
It's an Electrobuzz Community Day.
Community Day, that's what it's called. Yes, Community Day, Electrobuzz, Community Day. And so they might get shiny Electrobuzzes
It's like 30 Electrobuzzes pop up around you at all times.
So they're very excited about all that. And now I'm thinking in my head, like, are we going to take them out in the car and do, like, shared hotspot Wi-Fis once a week in order for them to stock up on Pokeballs?
I guess that is a way.
To be able to play throughout the week.
Well, you know what? Well, so our oldest one ran out of Pokeballs fast. Actually, they both ran out, so they can't catch any more new Pokemon. So he's turned to just battling with whatever Pokemon he got today. So he's just been battling random people. You can't communicate with those people, so it's great for
it's a good kids app.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you can have your own account, and you can have you can be free and independent because nobody could actually talk to you, which is great. And that's why I feel like a lot of people rag on Nintendo for having friend codes in 2020 and making it really hard for people to connect. But really, it's because their main target audience is families.
It's good for families.
Yeah.
Like it's a sigh of relief for us because then we don't have to be so concerned. And then when, you know, eventually years down the line when they are playing other games, there will not be headphones on. Like, I want to be able to hear the conversations that are happening. I don't know. I just feel like, no, I'm like, at least when they're, you know, 12, 13, 14, like, anyway, that's parenting stuff that we need to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Like, you know, having like an online friend or something like that, or having people like talk to you. We have a supreme advantage. Do you know what that is?
We grew up with some of the internet.
No, and that our children are boys.
Oh.
We don't have to worry about half of anything that other parents have to worry about because ours are boys. And right now,
I don't know that I fully agree with that statement. I just want to put that out there. I don't know that I fully agree with that statement.
Girls on the internet have a really hard time, especially when playing video games. Like, I have a friend who she's a streamer. She's trying to make it happen. Like, 99% of all of the streamers out there, she's fighting for people to come to her channel. Mm-hmm. And people treat her poorly because of her gender. Constantly enough that it's like death by a thousand cuts, and it's like, why can't people just treat women like everybody else, like the, in some people's minds, the default gender of boys? Why do they have to constantly rip on or pay attention to or treat women differently online? It's this thing, and it hasn't changed much, even though we're living in like a different time. So when our boys get to be like 11, 12 and want to play on the internet, the first thing that doesn't come to mind for me is that somebody's going to talk to them inappropriately.
To be appropriate too.
Yes.
So, I mean, I want to be able to monitor that kind of conversation. And living in a very small space like we do in our two-bedroom apartment, that lends itself to being able to, like, I mean, I kind of miss working on stuff and having them, like, come out of bed and, like, check in on me and, like, what I'm doing. I miss that a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, there is aspects about the, I guess you could call it tiny house living, of our small apartment.
Come look closer. I look like a giant man.
I want to be able to rock back a little.
Okay.
But there's things about our small little apartment that I miss. You know, I'm looking forward to going back to New York City when it's safe for us to do so, and the things that kind of smaller space allows for. And I don't know. I know that some people will say, we've had numerous people say to us, I don't know how you can possibly live in such a small space. And to me, it just is normal. You know, it just feels nice. I mean, it's nice to be out here too. This is our normal right now. But our real normal is being together. You know,
like in a tightly packed space.
Yeah.
Like we're in the space.
And then
station.
We leave that space and go places that are bigger, you know, and enjoy that big space. And then we come back to our little space. And I like that little space because, you know, you can carve out your own tiny hideout within it. But you're always kind of like in tune with how everybody else is doing, what they're feeling, what they're watching. And I like that. So I don't know.
Yeah. You can't shut people out.
School stuff is going good. We just completed our first week of paying our older son to do his homework, schoolwork.
How'd that go?
Good. I owe him money, but I don't have change. I knew this was going to happen, and I didn't bring it together to get it together to be able to make change for him. So, because my ATM is not here. Like, I mean, I need to go to an ATM and then, like, change.
He might have change, though.
He might have change.
So
he probably does have change.
Yeah, he could.
So I could give him a 20, and then he could give me money back. Yeah. But I need to start the parent bank. And I just want to say that never in my life did I ever think that I was going to be the parent who paid their kid to do their schoolwork. However, you have to understand, parents out there who are starting to feel a little judgy inside, I was one of you. I would have judged me. I would have. True story. But here's the deal. We have a kid who has been motivated by money his entire life. And I do not know what that's about, because money is not important to me like it is to him.
Well,
like,
it's about like control. It's about like every time that we went to the supermarket, you know, we talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was like, hey, can I get this or can I get that? You know, like, well, let's talk about how much it costs. And, you know, like, talking about money is okay, and, you know, it ties into math and, you know, like, saving up for things, you know. Like, I think every parent gets to this point where you talk about, like, all right, are we going to do, like, an allowance, you know, or are we going to pay them for little jobs?
Well, here's the deal, is that he told me about these three different things that cost a lot of money. I mean, it's like $60 for each of these different cool Lego sets or cool video game, like brand new pre-order video game things that he wants. And it added up to about $160, those three different items. And then I looked at, like, well, how is he earning money? Well, he's not. He doesn't have a way to earn money right now, except for like odd jobs occasionally, but nothing's guaranteed. Okay, so he needs something guaranteed. And then I thought about a chore chart, and then I looked at the grandparents' house, like where we're living, my in-laws, your parents. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I don't think that I can make a consistent chore chart being out here, because I want to be able to have a chore and have like ways that you do the chore. And even if he messes up, I want to be able to be cool with it. But I can't be cool with it if it's not my house and not my stuff, you know? So I actually couldn't in good conscience put together a chore chart that I felt was like adequate for a 7-year-old, almost 8-year-old. So then I thought, well, you know what? I go to work every day and my work every day pays me. And I do stuff that maybe I'm not like super excited about sometimes. I mean, I love my job. Don't get me wrong. Hi, Cheryl, my boss. But I, you know, like some parts of the job are more exciting than the other parts. Let's just be real. And so same with schoolwork. Some parts of the schoolwork are easier or more fun than other parts. And so then I thought, you know what? If I pay him 50 cents to do the schoolwork, the streaming schoolwork that he needs to do for his school, and then 50 cents to do the extra work that grandma does every day. And then I'll give him opportunities to earn extra credit each day, 4 different opportunities, so he could earn up to $2 a day. So at the end of the week, he could earn up to $10 at the end of the week, which I realize sounds like a lot of money, but he has to put in the work. If he puts in the work, then he can get that money. And then if he say, because then $10 a week, it's still a lot of money. Like he'd have to save up 16 weeks and do all of that work for 16 weeks total to get $160, right? Did I just multiply that correctly?
Sorry, I was thinking about something else.
I think so. Anyways, I think I did that math correctly in my head. That's a lot. It's a long time. 16 weeks, that's 4 months of
and by that time he will have forgotten what he wanted to get in the first place, which
possibly or moved on.
Typically happens with kids. Mm-hmm. You know. But adding to that also, he saved up for this fishing rod that he'd been talking about mm-hmm. for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then he finally got it after saving up like, you know, a bunch of money, and we brought it out and we looked at all the things. And we put it back into its case, and now it's collecting dust on the shelf. We haven't used it at all. He hasn't talked about it. It was more about like that he wanted it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's more about like the, I think it's more but about like the spending money, spending capital, and like getting something that you want, like having control over things that are in your life.
He's happier though.
Yeah.
He's overall happier, and that's great. And he's doing extra work, which is great. You know, because the thing that I want him to get in the habit of is just doing the work. Like that is the habit building that we're trying to. Our younger son, who's 5, he doesn't have that same kind of issue. Like he'll just do the work. He likes doing the work, actually.
Mm-hmm. I see. Oh, he's always like school.
Yeah, he's just happy.
Yeah.
He's just happy to be there, happy to do it. Look, I colored it all in. It's beautiful. I'm so happy. I'm done. Yay. And then our older one is like, can you please just do it? So if this is instilling like a habit forming, I'll pay you. Fine. I'll pay you. So that's where we're at with it. We've just finished 1 week and he earned $8.50.
Okay.
And that's pretty good. So.
You know, he didn't max out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely a couple days, especially mm-hmm. like later towards the week, started to fall off the wagon. We'll see if he's that motivated to continue mm-hmm. because typically it's been like he'll do like a month or two with like a chore chart. And then by the end of the second month, it's like it's falling off completely anything. And nobody cares, right. You know, which is like it's interesting.
But this felt more attainable to have it be integrated long term. So. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. So tonight I have to pay him and then set up for tomorrow morning. And then I've been also having to find extra credit things for him to do. But that's also been fun for me to do as well. I enjoy that part. So that's where we're at with the schooling stuff. We're registered homeschoolers, so we have to submit our IHIPs. This week for the quarterly assessment, but I don't even know that anybody in the homeschool office is even looking at any of that stuff. They're probably just checking a box and saying like, we got something from this family, because I'm sure they're completely overrun.
Right, because so many more people are homeschooling now.
Yes, completely overrun, but I'm sure.
You submitted that, right? You forwarded it on?
I will be forwarding it on Monday.
You have to print it out? You just email it.
Yeah, something. There was a reason why I waited. I don't remember why.
I saw it come in. I saw like the school filled it out and then you got it.
Yes. So I will be submitting both Leaf and Finn's on Monday. Yeah.
Okay. High five. Getting it
Parenting.
Done.
Parenting.
Sorry, Mama carrying us to the finish line.
We scheduled the second part of Leaf's assessment because he's getting evaluated. For who knows what he like, but we're getting an evaluation.
So that means they're going to take pictures of his brain.
He's going to get an MRI and an EEG as part of the evaluation.
That's super cool.
It is cool. And I want to build it up like that. So, if any of you have ever, done this kind of like intensive evaluation of any of your kids and you want to be in touch with me and tell me like things I could do to make it more fun, because he's going to have an in-person evaluation. We're going to have a quick lunch, and then he's going to do an MRI. Then we get to go home. Then the next day, he's going to have an in-person evaluation, quick lunch, then an EEG. And so it's going to be a lot in a couple of days. But it's because I only want to drive into New York City for like 2 nights and then come back here. So if anybody has any tips of ways to make it more fun, let me know. You can hear that siren.
Whoop, whoop. That's right.
Because we're in a village that has a siren.
The podcast
for the
police.
Volunteer fire department.
You've hit 50 minutes.
Yeah. It's a Bills game today. It's Sunday. We're in
That's
Western
right.
New York.
Go Bills. Bills are actually doing pretty well this season. So we'll see. The Bills quarterback has been doing so well that he has his own cereal.
Mm-hmm. He does now?
Oh,
what
yes.
is it called? Alan O's?
No, it's called like Josh's Jacks or something like that. It's weirdly spelled like J-A-Q's or something. I was like, I don't get that reference, but... No, he's got his own cereal. I mean, not since Flutie Flakes.
Flakes.
A Bills, I think, a Bills quarterback had their own cereal. And it's because the Bills are, 7-2?
They're doing well.
They're doing well,
but don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. But watch the game tonight if you are into that kind of thing. I think it actually starts in a couple minutes. So
it's so weird. I'm completely against American football. I think it's awful. It's a brutal
sport. Oh, Ted, you are in the wrong place right now. Everybody out here is waving their Bills flag loud and proud.
I was the soccer kid at a football high school, okay? We didn't get cheerleaders or new uniforms or a budget or hundreds of people to come out to watch our games. Nobody came out to watch our games. Even when in JV, even when we destroyed everybody, like we never lost a single game, and it's like it didn't happen. It's like the tree falling in the forest because nobody heard about it.
Honey.
Only the parents knew that we did really well. But anyway, that's a whole different ballpark. No, American football, it's like you look at the players that played 20 years ago, right? And they're all messed up. The brains are messed up.
Yeah, we all know that.
You know,
their
bodies are messed up. I can't, in good conscience, watch this game knowing the long-term consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's like we all laugh and say, like, come on, guys, when soccer players kind of like, you know, hit each other the wrong way and fall over. My brain, ow, ow, ow. You know, like all those, you know, Oscar-winning actors in soccer that we all kind of joke about. But, like, the opposite is true in football where these guys are getting concussions and real injuries and then pretending like they're fine because you want to stay on the field for as long as possible, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it is crazy and... So if you're a big American football fan out there, I can't be there. Even though my family and everyone in the small town, it seems, are like going to. We talked about it like church.
I did. Right? I was the one who said it was
it's
like
religious
church.
Fervor over here,
it
and
is.
In a lot of different communities.
The Bills are a religion out here, and if they get to the playoffs, that's a religious holiday.
Mm-hmm.
If they go to the Super Bowl, like you light a candle.
And there's a lot of praying.
There is.
There's so much praying.
It's intertwined.
Like religion is intertwined with sports. You know, that's like in any country really. But like here, it's like you got in Western New York, right? We're part of the Rust Belt. That means that for a long time, the industries that propped up these big communities died and crashed and burned. And what do we have left? Sports. Football. What do we never do? Win.
Hockey.
We never win. Poor Western New York. We never had outside of sports that nobody cares about.
Well, hockey's done quite well, right?
Yeah, but they never won. Aww. The Sabres got close a couple times, but they never won. Just like the Bills. They got close a bunch of times in the 90s, and we were there for a lot of those games, except for the Super Bowl games, right? But they never won.
Well, hopefully this is our year. It would be a great year to have it be this is our year. So
yeah, but it's tainted. It's kind of tainted at the same time. But like even though...
I'll take it.
People are going
to
say...
It would be nice to have a nice
Whoever wins this year, no matter what sports, people are going to say, yo, it's the coronavirus. Yeah, the best players got knocked out by the virus, so it's not fair.
Who cares? How special would it be to be in Western New York when the Bills won? Like, that would be so special. It would. I would eat my weight in chicken wing dip. I'm just saying. I would.
It would be nice to see our local sports team finally win. I'll say that.
I'm making pizza.
But because I'm 40 tonight. Years old, that means that I can remember like around 35 crushing defeats of the Buffalo Bills. Sometimes, usually, the last 20 years, they don't make the playoffs, or if they do, they lose immediately. So my expectations are low, like everyone around here, too. You know, if you're a diehard Bills fan, expectations are very low.
I'm excited.
But we're optimistic.
I'm excited.
Right? Especially because they beat the Patriots. The Bills beat the Patriots.
It was a big deal.
The winningest team in football.
Of ever winning.
The Yankees of football were defeated by our scrappy Western New York underdogs, and you can't take that away from us.
That was exciting. That was an exciting time.
You got to hold on to the small victories because you're never going to get the big ones is what I think life is telling us.
So when we end this podcast, that's what we're going back to, a house full of people watching the Bills games
and
party food, and then I'm making pizzas because I said I would.
Yeah, and our kids watching football too.
That's okay. It's okay. This is parenting. This is the parenting aspect.
I have to say things though every time I have to say something. I feel compelled to say something because I'm a parent in a situation, and we haven't told our kids yet, but kids, if you're listening, right, if you're out there, you're not allowed to play football because
they've never
asked. I don't want your brains mushed into where you can't take care of yourself, which is like what has happened to some of, like, I have trading cards for people who have to wear adult diapers now because their brains were turned to mush in the 90s. And for what? You know, like people who can't pay their bills, who can't pay their electricity bills, and they had to have like GoFundMes and other like crowdsourcing ways to like give them money because they used to be football players.
But the same could be said about wrestling. So
so many different things, right? But at least wrestling is dangerous. But at the same time, it's like that's all just about fame. It's about storytelling. There's so many great things about it.
Before we go,
yes,
we need to say our weekly thank you to Springville Center for the Arts for being our residency space.
I think they're going to distance themselves from us after we disc football.
I did not disc football. I'm just saying I enjoy watching football, and I think it's fun to watch. I'm not playing it myself, but you know what? My dear friend Sarah, who I referenced earlier, she played on the Women's National Football League for a time, and I'm so proud of her for having followed her dream. She's loved football her whole life, and she got to actually play football professionally, and I'm so proud of her. So
that's great.
It is great, right? Awesome. Go Sarah. I'm so glad that you guys tuned in and listened this week, and I want, of course, say a big shout out to Springville Center for the Arts for this residency space. They're part of the main reason that we're able to broadcast our shows, broadcast to you, not have children running in saying like, hey, can you please wipe my butt? Like, or did you make my chicken fingers yet? So big thank you to them and to Love Inc., the landlords who live upstairs and who have been so gracious to us this entire time and who are helping people all throughout the area with lots of different things.
That's right. So if you, if you're out there, if you're local, mm-hmm. if you know somebody in Western New York who's having trouble with paying bills or getting food on the table, reach out. There's plenty of great religious organizations that will help you in your local food banks, et cetera. But Love Inc. is kind of like a catch-all. Whatever you need help with, we're here for you. And it's like this combination of all of these local religious organizations into one positive place.
Yeah.
So I don't know their website, but if you just Google Love Inc. in Springville, that's them. And the ladies upstairs are so,
so nice.
So nice.
So nice. Okay. And a big shout out to just the Springville community for being so kind and welcoming to us, even if some of us don't love football. It's been really nice to be here and to be out here. And of course, a shout out to Chad's parents for letting us continue to stay in their home. And, you know, we're trying to be good guests.
You know, it's give and take.
Yeah. Well, I cleaned the bathrooms today, so
that helps.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thank you.
Once again, we are the Puppet Parent Podcast. Check us out on, yes?
And if you are feeling sad and you need help, please make sure that you reach out and get that get the help you need, because, you know, your mental hygiene is just as important as your physical well-being. And we love you. We love you. And we want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah. And if you're feeling angry, if you're really angry, like really angry all the time, it's time to talk to somebody about that.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's the same thing. If you feel like only sad people commit suicide, you're dead wrong. Okay, it's really upset people too.
Yeah.
So talk to somebody, text a friend. That is the least thing that you can do for yourself, so do it. And if you're out there and if that's not you at all, reach out to somebody that you haven't heard from in a while, because even if they're not having a hard time, it'll just make their day.
Yeah, make a connection. All right. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday. We're the Puppet Parent Podcast. Signing off.
Bye. Oh, and there's Albie. Hey.
Hey, Albie.
All right. We love you, too.
Hey, buddy.
Bye.